This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham here, founder and CEO of MBSLive.net. I love this service, Matt. It's on always right behind me. What's going on in the markets?
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Good.
Market, a very interesting week last week. Lots to talk about, lots of ground to cover, and some misdirection plays and smoke and mirrors here and there as well. And big risks coming up ahead. Less mentioned 10-year yields going higher. Where are they going to stop? And to offer an additional take or a slightly different take on the driving force and just something that I think everybody needs to be aware of right now to hear the average trade desk and bond market analyst say their piece on it. Markets are really planning on a relatively COVID-free economy by the end of 2021. And we really need to be sensitive to the possibility that we're witnessing a big rotation in risk where money is moving out of bonds and into stocks, even though the Fed is continuing to buy. But that's why we're not up closer to 2%. So the Fed will continue to buy until things get so good that they have to reconsider, but that's the direction that rates are going. Now, we're going to talk in a moment about how mortgage rates are disconnected from 10-year yields to a much greater extent than normal, but it's worth being in tune to the risk or just the reality that we could be coping with a rising rate environment at some point soon. And that's really almost always going to be the case after you've spent almost two straight years moving significantly lower in rate, holding near all-time lows for a while, making successive runs at new all-time lows. And there's more gas left in the tank as far as mortgage rates are concerned. But if we're looking at trends in rates based on treasuries, which is what you want to do, even if you're an MBS guy, then it makes sense to be defensive. You can be hopeful, you can be tactical, you can make shorter term decisions. But getting right into it now, since I just blew 2 minutes talking about that, let's recap last week real quick. Last week, bond yields jumped, not on Monday, but on Tuesday. Monday, bonds' hands were tied due to month-end trading considerations. And as always, if you encounter a term that I say here on the show that you're unfamiliar with, check it out on MBS Live. You can type in pretty much any search term into the little magnifying glass and bring up a knowledge base entry. So month-end trading is one of those. Tuesday is when things really started to get crazy. Stimulus headlines right out of the gate, new bipartisan bill, and bonds were eagerly willing to react to that. We also have to consider quote-unquote new month trading. So to whatever extent month-end trading had restrained bonds on Monday, now they were free to roam about the cabin on Tuesday. Trading positions flowed in both in favor of stocks and against bonds. Big move in European bond markets and especially in UK 10-year yields relating to Brexit headlines. So Brexit is back in play, actually. Uh-oh. And it was yet again this morning. I'm not following the news as closely as I did in 2016, but things are up in the air. Brexit did give a boost to yields on Tuesday, but mainly stimulus stuff. Then we drifted for 2 days, and then Friday came. And Friday brought your friend and mine non-farm payrolls. Always the biggest consideration for the bond market on any given month, if you had to pick a piece of economic data, that is. NFP, non-farm payrolls, 245,000 payrolls. That, wow, on any other year at any other time, that's stellar. It's outstanding. Wonderful job growth. But last week, for the month of November, that was terrible. And the reason it was terrible is because it leaves us still about 10 million jobs short of where we were before COVID. Now we could hypothesize that some of those jobs will eventually return. And even if we are worried about permanent job destruction, there's going to be a new economy on the other side of COVID and maybe new jobs will emerge from that. So we don't really know what that's going to look like yet. We just know that job growth after the initial catastrophic lockdown related drop earlier in 2020 has leveled off perhaps a little bit sooner than some people would have hoped. And to whatever extent somebody would want to point to the lower unemployment rate and say that was good, because it did drop to 6.7 from 6.9, they should also know that the labor force participation rate dropped by the same amount. All that means is that if somebody hasn't
looked for a job in the past 4 weeks, then they're no longer counted as part of the labor force and not adding to the unemployment rate. So it can make that U3 unemployment rate a bit misleading. And I think in terms of actual worker count of people that were employed, we lost employment. Unemployment didn't really go down. Wages went up. People could point to that as a positive, but wages should be going up because the people that can still work from home are generally higher income earners anyway. And so it's not a surprise to be seeing wages go up. So anyway, NFP, much weaker than expected. And what's that supposed to do to rates? Weaker jobs supposed to make rates go down, yet yields spiked significantly on Friday. And I'll tell you why. It has to do with stimulus. Yeah. So lawmakers are maybe going to put together a deal before the new year. And to whatever extent that was a possibility, it becomes more of a probability after seeing such a weak jobs report. And bonds do not like stimulus because stimulus will be paid for by treasury issuance, higher supply, lower demand, lower prices, higher yields. So that's supply demand 101 in treasuries in 10 seconds. We have treasury auctions this week, 3-year, 10-year, 30-year. That's the more impactful cycle as far as how markets might react. MBA, as always, will release their application numbers on Wednesday, and we'll also get wholesale inventories, the lower shelf report in terms of market moving power. CPI, Consumer Price Index, inflation forecast to stay the same at 1.6 at the core level on Thursday, and jobless claims should be about 725 versus 712 last time. Friday, we get producer prices, another inflation metric at the wholesale level, not a big market mover. Consumer sentiment should stay pretty close to home at 76 and change. Much more important than all that, we'll be waiting on more stimulus headlines. We had some more this morning. We had some more Brexit headlines this morning. Brexit was helpful today, whereas it hurt last week. And stimulus remains to be seen. It seems that there is potentially a stopgap government funding bill for a very short term that will allow them to put together an omnibus bill that does government funding and COVID stimulus. It's not going to be as big as the Democrats want it to be, and it's going to be bigger than the Republicans want it to be, but it is probably going to be about the size that the bond market thinks it's going to be. Doesn't mean it's priced in, however. Bonds want to see whether or not it is actually going to happen before the new year. And they really want to see whether or not it's going to happen before next week, because if it happens before next week, we have the Fed coming up on Wednesday of next week. And if the Fed sees a stimulus package come through before then, they are much less likely to offer any additional accommodation in next week's meeting. And really, the most likely way they would do that would be by tweaking the duration profile of their bond buying portfolio. In other words, they would buy more longer term debt with the money they're already spending. That would generally help interest rates, the ones that we care about, move lower or stay as low as they are. So bottom line, even though stimulus is going to happen, it still is of high consequence to the bond market to know when it's going to happen, because it is of high consequence to the Fed's reaction function in next week's meeting. Last caveat, we're talking a lot about treasuries here, and MBS and then mortgage rates are two steps disconnected from treasuries in a very big way. Lender margins are so big and MBS outperformance has been so big that mortgage rates can weather a fair amount of drama in treasuries before they would necessarily need to respond. In fact, we've seen just uncanny stability in mortgage rates relative to treasury volatility. No reason to expect that won't continue for a little bit. At some point, there will be a reckoning, but we're not there yet. And I can tell you for sure, we will at least have a couple more podcasts to discuss that. So you'll have ample warning before that reckoning shows up.
So it's a really interesting relationship to the bonds, mortgage interest rates. So you covered that. Good job. Good report. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too, friend. If you want to check out everybody, the best service for managing and looking at what's going on with interest rates, be sure to check out mbslive.net. And when you're signing up, use the LOL for Looking on Lending as a sign-up code, and you'll get an extended free trial. Matt, appreciate you so much. Look forward to seeing you back here next week. Looking forward to next week's podcast. We've got Ted Kramer joining us. He is the president of Innovient. We're going to be talking about what leading companies, some of the top mortgage companies, largest in the nation, using as technology the advantage it's creating for them. So really exciting. I'm going to be looking forward to sharing something. I think it's been one of the best kept secrets in our industry is the Innovium product and what it can do to help on pricing. So we're going to hopefully release the secret with that interview with Ted Kramer next week. Folks, so good to have you with us. We're appreciative of our sponsors, Finastra, the MBA, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, Indicom, Accelerate, Mobility RE, Modex, and a whole lot more. Check out all of our sponsors on our sponsorship page on the LickinandLenny.com website. Appreciate it. So anyway, have a great week and look forward to hearing more from our listeners throughout the week. A lot of the content that we create here that we add or take away is based on our feedback from our listeners. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.